Good morning, everybody, and welcome to November, the first day of the month, this Friday, 2019. My name is Michael Kimmett, and I will guide you through four of the most important current events in cyber and technology you need to finish this week. Hope you had a great Halloween. We'll start with my favorite topic, facial recognition. In America, the American Civil Liberties Union, specifically the ACLU, as it's called, Massachusetts branch, has sued the Department of Justice because it wants data from the FBI, that's the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, related to their use of facial recognition technology. The fear that the ACLU has is that because facial recognition allows essentially these government agencies to place people in real time in specific places, that there is a chance of a police-monitored state, which infringes on the civil liberties of citizens of the United States. And this is true not just in the United States, but we've also seen in the UK certain police forces banning the use of facial recognition technology. A lot of this stems from fears that, A, facial recognition technology has not been perfect in the past, nor is it entirely perfect now, leading to false arrests or false placements, which could impact lives when it comes to crime. And so the ACLU is suing the government for this data. They have asked for it in a Freedom of Information request, but has not received any input from the federal government on this topic. So they would like the courts to force those agencies to provide the data for transparency so that the fears of such a totalitarian state can be alleviated. Now, there is a lot of interest in this, as many states, like California, have banned the use of facial recognition in many applications. Yet the federal government, to include the FBI and DEA, do have access to driver's license databases, which include photos from as many as 18 states. So there is some concerns around privacy here. It'd be very interesting to see how this plays out. Just know that as we continue to use our faces to unlock our phones and other technology, that could be changing depending on how all of this plays out. We'll move on to Germany. Well, sort of. We'll really move on to global malware. But Germany's computer emergency response team, known as the CERTBund, is issuing a warning. This follows the discovery of Finland's cybersecurity center, who discovered that there's a malware called Qsnatch. Qsnatch is a malware that has already infected more than 7,000 devices, and these devices are called NAS QNAP. Now, NAS stands for Network Attached Storage, which is, as it sounds, a place where data is stored, made by the Taiwanese firm QNAP. So QNAP NAS or NAS QNAP is simply a storage device manufactured by a firm in Taiwan. And the reason that the Germany's CERT is really concerned about this is because the malware QNAP does infect the QNAP devices, and it embeds itself in firmware, making it incredibly difficult to remove the malware from the device. As of now, the only way to completely remove this malware from a QNAP NAS device is to completely factory reset it, including the firmware. Because firmware is like the subconscious level of computing, so if you just reboot, not going to work. If you try to manipulate the operating system that is resident on that device, not going to work. So you would lose all of your data by removing the malware. So the malware can extract credentials that are on those devices, the users of those devices. It can actually alter the timestamps and scripts on those devices. It can overwrite and update how the firmware is updated, because obviously it wouldn't want new firmware to erase itself. And it can also block malware-removing tools from executing. So this is a very dangerous device. Right now it has only infected 7,000 devices, but since there's no way to remediate, it is a very critical thing moving forward because A, it's spreading, and B, you could be next. So if you use a NAS QNAP device and it is connected to the internet, if you don't need it on the internet, you should probably get it off soon. There's another new malware, this time just a variant of an existing malware that's been around for quite some time. So the new, it's called Gafgit, G-A-F-G-Y-T, for those very interested. And Gafgit is intriguing because it is infecting three specific classes of devices, Zyzel, Huawei, and Realtek. Well, devices that use the Realtek chipset is how that works. And what it does is the attackers scan the internet for these types of devices. Once it locates them, it uses known vulnerabilities. So for Zyzel, it's using 2017 vulnerability 18368. For the Huawei, it's using another 2017 vulnerability 17215. And for the Realtek chipsets, it's using a very old vulnerability from 2014, 8361. And this works because, people who use these devices need to update. Two, some of these devices are considered Internet of Things devices, which don't get patched because no one thinks to patch things like their toothbrush, for example. That doesn't necessarily fall in this category, but as an example, there are a lot of devices out there we don't think to update or patch. And so that is the issue here. A lot of unpatched devices out there. And these attackers are recruiting those devices by using these exploits, which they are then using to sell denial of service services. So in other words, if you wanted to shut down a video gaming website because you're upset about losing, you could go to Instagram and, depending on what you're trying to shut down, from $8 to $150 US, you can hire these guys to use this infrastructure they're building to deny service to that service, whatever it might be. You know, if it's a video game, that video game will be unstable or unusable for a set period of time. And so the Gafgit malware is powerful. It is having an impact. It is being sold on Instagram, according to Palo Alto Networks Research Unit 42. So this is something to keep an eye on. So if you use a Zyzel, a Huawei, or anything using a Realtek chipset, make sure that you patch because these are preventable instances of compromise. And you don't want to be a part of ruining someone else's day. We'll finish in Utah, of all places. So we talked about how the ACLU filed a Freedom of Information Act or request. Another entity, a report news site called E&E, also filed a Freedom of Information Act, but on something different. They wanted details about a cyber attack against a renewable energy company in Utah. Now, the company, S-Power, was reported earlier this year to be the victim of an attack. And now we know that it is S-Power because of this Freedom of Information request. So on 5 March this year, they were the victim when an attacker was able to separate their power production from the national power grid. And that's a big deal, because if you can start separating power being generated to it being distributed, you can essentially turn off power. That's not what happened here, so don't panic. What happened here is that the S-Power was using a Cisco firewall. It's a popular firewall. It's a good firewall. And what happened is that that firewall was outdated. It didn't have a patch, so it was vulnerable. And the attacker used that vulnerability to crash the firewall, which allowed them to break the connection between S-Power's wind and solar power generation installations and the company's main command center, how that power gets distributed to the national power grid. So the good news is that there are reports that this did not appear to be targeted in nature, and the documents from the Freedom of Information request showed that the hacker didn't actually continue or breach the actual power network following their initial exploit. So they were either testing whether or not this could happen. They didn't know that it was a power company. They were just looking for vulnerable Cisco firewalls and seeing if their tool worked. There's a whole number of reasons why this didn't progress. And if we we can assume that if it was someone more advanced, like a China or a Russia, that we would see them doing things after this to understand the impact of what they did. That doesn't seem to be the case here, which is good news for us. And S-Power seems to be operating normally following this, but they are officially the first renewable energy source to suffer a cyber attack. So they need to take cybersecurity seriously, as do we all. That'll do it for me this morning. Thank you all so much. Have a most fantastic first day of November. We'll see you bright and early Monday. Michael Kimmon, signing off. Ciao. Welcome back, listeners. Today's tip of the cap goes to Xiaowei Zhuang. Xiaowei Zhuang was awarded the 2019 Perlmeister Grenguard Prize. The international award seeks to award women who have advanced the biomedical science field. Now, Xiaowei's work as a Harvard chemistry professor entailed the discovery of new cells, new processes, and new types of neurons, all of which greatly promote the future of biomedical science. So to you, ma'am, a tip of the cap, and please keep on sciencing.